Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you are here. Praise the Lord, for He is good and He's working in your life and speaking to you today. Praise the Lord. My name is Pastor Josh Pan, and thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video. We're here to say Jesus forever because we want to honor Him, glorify Him all the days of our life, and we want Him to be the Lord and number one of our life all the days of our life. Today we're in for a treat. We have a devotion on the foundation of truth, and it's going to be on 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 13 to 28. Wow. Pray to the Lord for His word. Let me pray first, and then we can get started. Hello, Nathan, Sito, humble by God. I'm so glad to see each one of you guys. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for this wonderful, wonderful weather, and thank you that you have provided for us and lead us today together so that we can grow and build our life upon your foundation, upon your truth. We pray that your spirit would work in our life right now, today, and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, hello, I'm so glad you're here. Do me a favor, throw that thumbs up, let me know you're here, and also, may you be blessed. And may you hear the word of God. Stunner Tav, Mwaka, yeah, Maya, I see you guys. Bryce, God bless you. So I'm going to read this passage, and then we're going to dive into the meaning of the passage, and deeper, deeper, and deeper. So I know that you can be impacted, and that you can grow in Him. And so that's why I continue doing this. It's not only for myself, but also for you. As we pray, as we grow, as we put Jesus first forever. Hey, Frank, I see you. Good morning, good morning. God bless you guys. So this passage, it is the last chapter of 1 Kings, and it's touching on Ahab, the evil king who reigned over Israel at that time. And then Elijah sent him a message of warning before, and then there's been many, many different conflicts. And then even God is sending him a message. And will he heed to God's truth? Will he heed to God's promises? But then he's so evil that he's so numb to his false worship, so numb to his wrongdoings. And so now we're going to continue looking into this story. And Micaiah is actually a righteous prophet of the Lord, which King Ahab said, I despise, I don't like this prophet because he always says bad things or things I don't want to hear. While there's 400 other false prophets who tell him what he wants to hear. And that's why they find favor in the king, Ahab, and queen Jezebel. And so then this is coming to an end, it's wrapping up. And in this chapter, actually, I think tomorrow we're going to see that King Ahab received his punishment. And for his sin and leading others to sin. And that's why we must build our foundation upon His truth, God's truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 13 to 28. And the messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, "Look, as one man, the other prophets are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably." But Micaiah says, "As surely as the Lord lives, I can only tell him what the Lord tells me." And when he arrived, the king asked him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Attack and be vicious," he answered, "for the Lord will give it to the king's hand." And then the king said, "How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And then Micaiah answered, "I saw all of Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd." And then the Lord said, "These people have no master. Let each one of them go home in peace." And then king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad?" And Micaiah answered and continued, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne with all the host of heaven standing around him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth Gilead and going to his death there?' One suggests this and another suggests that. Finally, a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' 'By what means?' the Lord asked. 'I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouths of his prophets, he said, and you will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go, do it. So now the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has decreed disaster for you. Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaiah, went up and slapped Micaiah on the face. Which way did the spirit of the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you? He asked. And Micaiah replied, you will find out on the day you go hide in your inner room. And the king of Israel then ordered, take Micaiah and send him back to Ammon, the ruler of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, this is what the king says, put this fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely. Micaiah declared, if you ever shall return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added, mark my word and all your people. Wow. What can we learn from this? We can learn so much. Number one, you got to reflect and learn to obey God and not man. You got to listen carefully because this can change your life. This can help you propel forward in your life. And that's why you want to listen to the very end as we go through the scripture to support these different things. Number one is to obey God and not man. The messenger tells Micaiah that the other 400 prophets have spoken favorably to the king and tries to convince him to attack the king of Aram, the king of Syria, and to take back that city that he thought belonged to him. However, even when questioned by King Ahab himself, Micaiah does not succumb to peer pressure. He initially gives a mocking answer, claiming that he agrees with the other prophets and that he then boldly proclaims the true word of God of the Lord. And we can face a variety of social pressure in our own life. From your own workplace, or your neighbors, or your family, or your school place, or your teachers, you might feel pressured to compromise your obedience to God in order to please others. However, you should remember that God is on your side, and therefore there should be no pressure so great that he cannot strengthen you and protect you. God is bigger than your problems. God is bigger than your peers. God is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And that's why we must obey God, because God, he has good plans for you. God wants to bless you. God wants to lift you up. God wants to show you love and peace and joy in your life. God wants to contribute good things to you. And you have to accept it. You have to. If you reject it, the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of his love, then you're going to be missing out on so much things in your life, a void in your heart, and you're going to feel like there's something missing and feeling empty inside. Only Jesus can satisfy what's in your heart. Only Jesus can satisfy your mind and your soul. Only Jesus is the answer in the way. And that's why we must commit to following after him, because we know that he's got good plans for you, good plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to make you successful and not forsake you. Amen. And that's why we make a commitment to follow after God, our God who never fails, and our God who is God over all. Amen. And number two reflection is to live not by lies. Live not by lies. You got to live in the truth. Micaiah's prophecy becomes quite detailed as he tells of the inner workings of God's throne. And these words expose Ahab's company of false prophets, and they are not very happy with it. While the other prophets tell lies to please the king, Micaiah tells the truth and is slapped on the face and thrown into prison. And King Ahab thinks that he can contain God's word by controlling Micaiah. However, God's truth cannot be chained, cannot be contained, and will always prevail. And that we, as God's people, can choose to tell lies or to speak the truth. If you desire to be carriers of God's truth, then you must be immersed into the Word of God and be careful to neither consume nor perpetrate any lies. You must not ingrain any lies in your heart. You must follow in God's ways. You must read His word, listen to the words of Jesus, watch His action, how He responds, and allow Him to transform your life, transform your mind, renew your mind to be more holy, to be more consecrated in love, in joy, in His peace, in His truth, to become more like Jesus as you reflect after Him, as you walk after Him, as you trust in Him, to build your life upon His firm foundation, the foundation of truth, the foundation of His way, the foundation on His life that He gave unto you by coming from heaven to earth so that you can go from earth to heaven, from coming from heaven to earth to die on the cross, buried for 3 days, raised, defeating and resurrecting, defeating sin and death, so that you may have life, and life to the fullest, life to its abundance, life to how you are supposed to live it. Amen. And that's why we absolutely must live our life not upon the lies of the world or the lies of the devil or the lies that are given to you, but upon the truth of God and God Himself. Amen. So we're streaming from Santa Clara, California. Yeah, amen. So we can dig into this passage to learn more about what God is saying. It's absolutely crucial, if this is helping you, throw a thumbs up. Absolutely crucial that you continue growing, continue building your life upon His firm foundation. Amen. There was Ahab's death predicted by the prophet Micaiah, going back to the passage. And some commentators, they feel like Micaiah was probably the unnamed prophet who had earlier been sent by God to condemn Ahab. Whatever the case, he is now being sent by God to predict the hand of God's judgment upon the king. And this scene was electrifying and climatic as King Ahab was surrounded by 400 false prophets who told him to reclaim that province of Syria, that he would be victorious. But lo and behold, we will find out tomorrow that he is unsuccessful and that he would also pay the punishment for disobeying God, for listening to false gods and idols. And so, as soon as Micaiah entered the royal courts, King Ahab questioned him, "Should they attack the Syrian king of Ramah?" At first, Micaiah sarcastically mimicked the 400 prophets of Ahab by suggesting that the king attacks, for the Lord would give him victory over the Syrian forces stationed at Ramah. But Ahab sensed the sarcasm in Micaiah's voice and demanded that he speaks the truth, exactly what the Lord has said. And then, heeding to the demands of the king, Micaiah gave his first prediction, a prediction that pointed Ahab's poor leadership and also suggested his death. And he stated that he also saw Israel scattered and running around on the hills like sheep without a shepherd, without being organized. Why? Because the people had no master. God was not their master. The idols were their master. The false worships were their master. They themselves were their own masters. So they were running around, not in one accord, like lost sheep. And the implication that the master was dead. King Ahab was dead. Therefore, the sheep must find their way home, reacting with a half-hearted humor to the prophecy. King Ahab, he turned to Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat of the southern kingdom, Judah, with a statement that the prophet Micaiah never predicted anything good about him, just like he heard or had earlier told his brother-in-law. And at this point, Micaiah, he spoke up again and gave a second prophecy, a prediction of Ahab's deception and his coming death. And Micaiah said that he saw the Lord sitting on the throne, surrounded by the host of heavens. And suddenly, the Lord asked who would persuade Ahab to attack Ramah so that the king would be killed there, and that is, faced with the judgment of God. In response to the Lord's call for a volunteer, a spirit stepped up forth and said he would be the lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's false prophets. Again, the Lord charged the lying spirit to go and persuade Ahab to attack Syria. And after describing this heavenly scene, the true prophet, Micaiah, denounced the false prophets, declaring that they were lying to Ahab, that they saw nothing, that they did not know the truth from the one true God. And the lying spirit was in the mouth of all these false prophets of the king. And the truth was this: the Lord had declared disaster for Ahab, and he was to be defeated, and he was to die. And standing there, listening to this prediction of Micaiah, Zedekiah reacted with a rage. He was angry. He was furious. He was ashamed. And he was embarrassed. And remember that he was the leader of the false prophets. Fiercely, he walked up and slapped Micaiah straight down the face, claiming that he had as much of God's spirit in him as Micaiah did. Immediately responding, Micaiah predicted that Zedekiah would soon be hiding in terror from the enemy's troops, and then he would know that the truth that Micaiah held was true. And God definitely has been speaking through Micaiah, declaring the coming judgment upon the king and the Israelite army. Zedekiah and all the false prophets would witness the vindication of Micaiah's prophetic ministry. Arrested and imprisoned. Note, who was imprisoned? The prophet of God, the righteous prophet of God. And it was the king's own son, Joash, that imprisoned this man, Micaiah. In addition, Ahab called and demanded that Micaiah was being given nothing except for bread and water. He was not to be given meat. He was not to be given vegetable. Only bread and water. And that sounds like a recipe for malnourishment. Well, the king, he said, when I return from battle, then he will be fed. But lo and behold, we'll find out if he returns or not. And so, speaking boldly, this prophet did not stop talking. He did not say, oh, I accept my punishment. The prophet declared that Ahab's death was decreed by the Lord. And if Ahab ever returned safely, it would be proof that he, Micaiah, was a false prophet, that his prophecy had not come from the Lord, but rather from himself. But everyone present should remember his word. He said, mark my word, for they were the word of God himself, and the prophecy was true. They would experience the reality of it. And these were the final words. Micaiah finished his ministry before King Ahab, and he was then arrested, imprisoned, and because he proclaimed the word of the Lord, because he was a faithful follower, that means he's experiencing punishment for being innocent. He was being accused of being guilty, a liar, a cheater, of carrying false prophecy, and he was being persecuted for God. And that's why this is so crucial. It's not boring at all. It is so crucial. It may be boring to you, but then, you know, it's absolutely crucial that you grow and learn, because your life is constantly evolving, whether it's based on God's word or it's on your own word. And that's why this is of full value. And what must you learn? Number one, God's word is trustworthy. You must go into the word of God. It's absolutely true. And whatever God's word will come to pass. And that's why we see and we hear the promises of God for each one of us, which is salvation, hope, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, humility, faithfulness. These are from God. What is from God? What is good and perfect? It's from our Heavenly Father. And so that's why we must give thanks to Him at all times. That's why we must have a heart of gratitude, regardless of what false prophets and false sayings and false words are being spoken against God, because we know there is one truth. That truth is from our God Himself. And that's why we let Him speak to us through the Word of God. Amen? You see, we're going to be experiencing persecution here and there. Thank you, Mary. But then, we must stand strong in the word of God. When the prophecy is given in the word of God, the day always comes when the prediction comes and takes place. You see, in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, they were speaking of this Messiah, this king who is coming down from the generation of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, of David, of Solomon, that same seed that came down, which is the seed that eventually led to Jesus. And Jesus is the promised seed that came, and he brought heaven down to earth so that you may be able to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, so that you may be able to have this freedom in him, freedom from the bondage of sin, freedom from being bored in your life, freedom from being stuck in the dark places and brought into his light. And so God's promises is so well worth it. And that's why we walk in his ways and we trust in him and we build our life upon his firm foundation. If a believer fulfills the conditions of the promises, the promise takes place in the life of a believer. For example, when Abraham was faithful to God, God promised him that I will be your shield, be your protection, I will be your provision, I will make you a great nation, and I will make your name great. And that is exactly what God did for Abraham. And that same promises, because of what Jesus has done, it carried down to generation, to Isaac, to Jacob, down through generations, as long as they were rooted in God and continue walking in his ways. And when Jesus came, that generational promise came upon us Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ as well. So we can experience his freedom. We can experience his protection. We can experience his blessings and his provisions and his promises in our life because Jesus made it way for us to be able to enter his kingdom. We as Gentiles, do you think I look Jewish? No. He gave it to us, the same promise to Abraham, because we are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. We are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. And that's why we receive the same promises that was given to Abraham, it also is to us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah, so God bless you, and God is good. And so we know that God, he always comes through, and that he was, well, and is to come. Amen? Well, praise the Lord, for he is good. And we know that God's word is alive and powerful, and we know that we need to root ourselves upon his firm foundation. And the reason why you didn't hear about God, well, actually, you've been hearing about God, how the prophet of God, right, was speaking to the evil king, Ahab, in the Old Testament. And this is from 1 Kings. And back then when I was young, how old are you, John? When I was young, I thought, man, this book, this Bible, it's kind of boring. But then as I gotten older, as I looked into the word of God deeper, I was like, wow, this is alive and more powerful than I ever thought, so that I can share it now with you and share his love with you. Amen. So if you keep God's holy promises, holy commandments, and live this holy and righteous life, then you can be assured of all of God's promises. God gives you his Holy Spirit and empowers you to live a fruitful, productive life. The Holy Spirit is your friend, and he lives in you and empowers you. And it's the presence of God which shines through you. And it also transforms you to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. It gives you the power to overcome these darkness. It gives you the ability to be equipped with the wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and discernment in your life to continue forward strong. Amen. God empowers you to walk through life victoriously, conquering all trials and difficulties, hardships and misfortunes, temptations and seduction. He gives you a life of victory because Jesus has lived a life of victory, defeating sin, defeating death, defeating the bondage of people when they're sick. He brought victory into their life, and he brought victory into my life, and by God's grace, he brought victory into your life. And so we live a life of victory, and we live from a season to season, from victory to victory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from life to life. We live from glory to glory because we live in the presence of our Lord, our God, because He loves us. And we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, who is our King, who is our Lord, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who is our Father. So we are royalty, a royal nation, and a holy, royal priesthood, holy nation. Amen. So you become more than conquerors, triumphing over anything and all that attack you, including death itself. God floods your heart with the fruit of the Spirit. He floods your heart. He overflows your heart. He says, my cup overflows. It's not half full or half empty. It's not 10% full or just full. It's overflowing because that is why the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I shall not lack. He leads me by still water, and He makes me lie down by green pastures. This is the Lord our God. And so listen very carefully to what the Lord has from the Word of God to empower you. You don't want to miss the Word of God, because we know the Word of God is alive and powerful, and it's going to change you, transform you, encourage you, build you up. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. When he, Joseph, arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which had been spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. This is the word of God. This is the prophecy that out of Egypt I called my son, which is Jesus himself. Jesus is the visible representation of the image of the invisible God. He's the image of our God in heaven. And then he came from heaven, gave up his divinity to live on earth for you. And then to die on the cross for you. Amen? Amen. So these prophecies, these promises that God has spoken through prophets throughout the Old Testament came to life. It's true. And so in 30 minutes, I actually have a meeting that I have to get to. But by God's grace, we are on a roll hearing the word of God, which is alive and powerful. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, it says that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Isaiah, the prophet, saying that he took himself or took our infirmities. He took our punishments and bore our sickness and diseases. This is what Jesus did for us. This is what Jesus did for us. And that's why we must recognize that there's no greater love than this. Jesus said there's no greater love than this, but one to lay his life down for another. And that's what our Lord, our God did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we must, absolutely must, build our life upon him. And we must, absolutely must, trust in him, because God's plans are higher than our plans. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And that's why we say, and we submit, and we be humble to God's plans and say, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. May you increase and I decrease. And that's why we absolutely must heed to God's word and to study it for ourselves. You must check back whether or not I'm telling the truth or not, because you must make a choice to follow Jesus or not. You must make a choice today, because this life that you live, 100 years you live, is going to determine where you end up for eternity. 100 years of your life end up where you end up. Now, you might not live to 100, but if you choose Jesus and say yes to Jesus and you follow after him and say Jesus forever, then you will forever have a relationship with Jesus. But if you reject Jesus and say no to Jesus, then you'll have eternal separation from Jesus. Eternal separation from him means eternal torment, eternal pain. The lake of fire is not somewhere where you want to be. And it's somewhere that even when you end up, you're going to be saying, tell even my enemies not to come here. It's so bad, so bad. And that's why today's the day we say and repent and follow him, because he's our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, guys. And it may not make sense to you. It might not make sense to you right now. But that's why we live by faith. And when you live by faith, then and you walk by His truth and His promises, and you build a community around Christ, then you will start understanding step by step, slowly, and allow you to be able to grow in your faith, solidify your faith, and see more and more of what Jesus is doing in your life, of what God is doing in your life, of how He's protecting you and providing you and giving you peace in your heart. What is seen around you, everything you see around you, even people, are temporary. But what is unseen is eternal, and your soul is unseen. And that's why you absolutely must trust in the Lord. He transformed my life. He changed it. And there's no greater love than this that He can give to us. He added to me. He brought me from darkness into light. I was sick. Now I'm healed. I was needing breakthrough. Now He gave me breakthrough. And He can do the same for you. It's because of His love that I'm here. Because of His grace that I'm able to share with you guys this good news, this good promises of God. Without Him, I'm nothing. Without Him, this is all pointless. But because this is winning souls, that's all that matters. Winning souls, the heart, the soul, to God, then this makes it so much worth it. So our treasures are in heaven. Our treasures are in heaven. It's not on earth. We do not store on earth because it rusts, because moths destroy it, because it fades away. But what's in heaven is for eternity. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. John chapter 17, verse 12 says, "When I was with them in the world, I kept them in Your name, and those who has guarded, and I guarded them, and none of them perished but the son of perdition." So the scripture would be fulfilled. The scripture is fulfilled and will be fulfilled. If you look into Revelation, there's going to be a new heaven, new earth. If you look into Revelation, you're going to see that Jesus will be returning one day. There will be a second coming of Jesus, and all the believers would be united with Him and lifted up with Him and be able to have a relationship with Him and be able to be alive and alive in Him. And one day, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ha ha. Great. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. "But those things which God before and showed by the mouth of His prophets that Christ should suffer, and He has fulfilled." Christ has fulfilled His promises, or the promises of God. He is the living sacrifice that satisfied the wrath of God, that satisfied the punishment, the judgment of God that is intended for you and me, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. We all deserve this death. Now, this is not just talking about the physical death, but this death is talking about the spiritual death. The separation from God equals death. The relationship with God equals life. The separation from God equals death. The unity, the relationship with God equals life. God has come. Jesus has come so that you may have life and life abundant. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. To destroy your life, kill your life. But Jesus come to give you life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, "May it never be, God forbid, rather let God be found true through every man be though every man be found a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words, and you prevail when you are judged." Wow. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You are called into his presence. You are called into fellowship. Brothers and sisters, we are called into fellowship and saying, yes, praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. He is the one that came to save our life. And that's why we accept his gift of salvation, his gift of the Holy Spirit, his gift of love and hope. Amen. God is faithful. He never fails, and he never failed me yet. He's been faithful in the past, faithful today, and faithful forever. No wonder our God is faithful. He cannot be hidden. His truth will prevail. His truth will prevail. The darkness cannot survive in his light. Evil cannot survive in his goodness. He is faithful. And that's why I praise him all the days of my life, and that's why I trust him. He never let me down. He always came through. He actually exceeded my expectations, gave me more than enough. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty, God of more than enough. He is Jehovah Jireh, God who meets all my needs. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that you are appointed and destined for this, so that no one would be disturbed by these temporary afflictions. For you and yourself, you know that you are destined for this. You see, we're going to experience persecutions. People are going to make fun of us. People are going to try to crush and stop us. But by God's grace, he's been giving us more than enough. And he's given us life beyond this life. He's given us eternal life. That's the best gift that you can ever have. This temporary life compared to that eternal life is nothing. And that eternal life is going to be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more sickness and disease. It's going to be so much better. So I look forward to that day. And Paul says, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. And to die is gain. What does that mean? To live, you live for Christ. You spread his gospel, his good news and his love. And you spread the word of God. To live is Christ. You live for Christ. You let Christ live in you. And let him speak the words. Everything I'm saying, by God's grace, Lord willing, be his word. Amen. And that everything I do, all my habits, be upon his firm foundation. So to live is Christ. To die, you gain. You gain more than the world can ever offer you. Amen. Amen. Hello, Tess, Jaden, Pablo. I'm so glad you guys are here. Wow, so amazing. We need to hear more of God, for he is good. So that's why we do daily devotions, to praise him, to give him glory in our life. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If we believe not, he still is faithful. God is faithful to the very end. He's always chasing you, always giving you another chance so that you may be able to experience more of him, so that you may have a chance to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, so that you may have a chance to live a life of meaning and purpose, so that you would be able to have a relationship with our Creator who created us to have an intimate relationship with him. That relationship was tarnished, was damaged by sin, because sin came into the world. It became a wall, a barrier, a dividing point, which we could not get by ourselves. But God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, shall not be eternally divided from him, but have eternal life and have eternal relationship with him. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, verse 18. In the same way, God desiring even more to show his heirs of the promise of the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which is impossible to God, for God to lie, it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have a strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Be happy. Be happy in the Lord. You know, blessed means to be happy. So blessed means happy. Blessed are those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for all will be added unto him. Happy are those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will be added unto you. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, without moving around, without the winds and the waves pushing us around, because God is faithful and he has promised us many good things. Amen, Henry? For he is good. So let us hold fast to the profession, to the confession of our hope in Christ and of our hope and faith without wavering, for he is faithful to what he promised. Hold fast to the Lord. Hold fast to him. Hold on to him. Don't lose sight of him. Say Jesus forever. Type Jesus forever. Throw that thumbs up if you say Jesus forever. Amen. Oh, I love this. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock, and his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. This is saying God is the rock. He's the firm foundation. He's the cornerstone. He is the refuge, resting place, and he never changes. His work is perfect and is alive, and his ways are just. Just, it is not unfair. It is just. And God of faithfulness without injustice, righteous and upright is God our Lord, our Savior. And that's why we say we love Jesus. Jesus forever. Amen. Tess, praise the Lord. He is good. And then 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28 said, Now, O Lord God, thou art that God. You are God, and your words are truth. And you have promised this good thing to your servant. His words are truth, Penelope. His words are true. I love that name, by the way. I know where it came from the Greek story. And Penelope, but that's a story for another day. But I had a... let me talk about it. It's a great, it's an epic tale story. I love it. Anyways, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. I have 15 minutes, so I'm going to answer. This will be the, blessed be the Lord, and who has given rest to his people of Israel. And according to all that he's promised, not one word has failed at all. And his promises are good, which he promised through Moses, his servant. Amen. He promised good things through Moses. The Moses wrote the first five books, Genesis, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Exodus, and another book. But five books, first five books of the Bible. And so, Numbers. And then Psalm chapter 36, verse 5. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heaven. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. Amen. I believe Judges was written by Samuel. Okay, anyways. So, hey guys, I know that Jesus is so good and he loves you and wants a relationship with you. I'm going to be answering questions next. And there's application questions, which is so alive and powerful. And you can hear my story during this time. So I save the best to the last. Amen. So let me pray. And if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now is the time. Heavenly Father, you are so good, so amazing. We thank you, for you have never failed us. You are faithful to the end. And you, your truth is always true. And so, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to dig into your word every day, to pray to you every day, and to allow your power to resonate within our heart, the Holy Spirit, to continue building us up upon your firm foundation. Lord God, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that you provide for them, protect them, give them wisdom, understanding, knowledge, bring healing upon them and their family and those around them. Lord God, I know your power is here, Lord. And for those who want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the day to do so. So pray with me. Dear Lord, I believe that you came from heaven to earth to die on the cross for my sin. Then you were buried and you rose after 3 days and you defeated sin and death. So Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Bring life to my heart. Bring your goodness into my heart. And let me commit to you. I commit my life to you 100%. To reading your word every day, to praying to you every day, to building your community. Lord God, you have good promises and good things for me, and I accept it, your gift of salvation and Holy Spirit. Come into my heart today, in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God, Jesus forever, Henry. Amen. God, he is so mighty, so awesome. Any questions, any prayers, let me know. Hey, glory to God. So, we got application questions. Number one out of four. What social pressures do you face? Ooh, social pressures. Well, some social pressures I have. Well, or had before. Before I would be in like college. I entered college. And then I would have social pressure to play games in my dormitory with other guys who played Dota at that time. And so I played Dota on the LAN party. And we played until morning. Ooh, wasted a lot of time. And because I planted that seed in the beginning, my freshman year, that seed grew during my sophomore, during my junior, and I carried it on to my senior year. And I wish I didn't spend so much time in gaming. I wish I spent more time in building the kingdom of God or building my life upon his firm foundation during my college years. But I kind of wasted it. Okay? So that's one social pressure. Another social pressure that people may feel may be like to follow in like partying, drinking. Could be substances. It could be following in just like a different new wave, like spirituality. It could be many different social pressure. But by God's grace, when you follow the one true master, then you will know your identity. And you will know who you are and what you should do. And that's why you are here today, to be equipped, to be built up, to accept him as your Lord and Savior, and to allow him to transform you, to be more fruitful and not just consumers, but also producers for God. Amen? Yeah, video games. So it's still not easy, not easy. Really. Huh, let's see. Hello, Yvette. Hello, hello. Good to see you. I'm trying to see if there's like anyone, anyone there. And then number two, what can help you resist these pressures? Well, what helps me resist these pressures is knowing that God has better plans for me. When I walk in his ways, he will add to me. When I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will give all things unto me that I need. He will provide for me, he will protect for me, and he will allow me to be productive. And so, yeah, by God's grace, I'm loving it, being productive, producing for God, for Christ. Amen? Someone said, Voyager says, have you ever taken a homeless person into your home? Well, you know, a homeless person once called me and on my phone. And then I didn't know him. He wasn't like a personal friend of mine. But I met him like on the streets. I gave him my contact. I gave him my Facebook. And then he messaged me. And I was living in San Jose. And he said, can you come get me? I'm in Lake Tahoe. And that's 4 hours away. 4 hours away. And I literally drove my car from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Well, maybe from 8 to 12. Anyway, that night, I drove my car all the way to him to pick him up and to drive him back. I expected to have a conversation with him. But what he did, well, when I got there, I picked him up. I laid down a towel to cover my seat. And he's like, it's okay, I understand. Trying to keep my seat clean. And then I picked him up. And then I drove him 4 hours back into San Jose. And I dropped him off. He said to drop him off at a Safeway. So I did. And then, so I brought him back. So did I serve a homeless person? Yes, I did. And did he talk to me? Well, he was so tired that he fell asleep right away. Right away when he got on my car. He told me that he was chased by a bear. He told me that his friend abandoned him and left him there. that got in a heated argument. He told me that, yeah, so I just went to serve because I was trying to go out and beyond just my own comfort zone to serve others, to help others, to bring them into the kingdom of God, to show them God's love and His grace. So that's my experience with homeless person. And then sometimes I do food banks. I help them. I try to pray for them, go around, walking around the park. And we have a low-income housing that's being built just one block away from me. And by God's grace, I'm going to be able to minister to them and to be able to preach to them and to be able to share the word of God with them so that they may hear the word of God and come into the presence of God. Amen? Amen. Well, right now I'm a pastor in Fremont. And it's called Tree of Life Christian Church. And so it's a non-denominational church. Okay? So what can help you resist these pressures? Number one is to pray. Pray continually. Rejoice always. And give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's goodness and God's will for you in Christ. Amen? Hey, man. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Someone said, comfort zone? Yeah. Driving 4 hours to pick up a homeless man that you don't know. That's going out of your comfort zone. But yeah, glory to God. Number three, what lies, I have 6 minutes, must we resist in the world today? The world says to follow after your own heart. That sounds great. But then God says to follow after God's heart. To be a man after God's heart. Who is that? David. He was a man after God's own heart. And we should be like David. To chase after God. To let Him be our Lord, our Savior. To walk in His ways. To build our life upon His firm foundation. Amen? What must we resist? We must resist the flesh. We must resist the addictions that the world offers, the temporary things that they offer. We must resist turning to satisfy our own hearts. Amen? Amen. I think that's better. Hello, hello, Daniel. Yeah, we must resist just like binge-watching all day and gaming all day. We must resist wasting our time because God's told us to be fruitful and multiply. We got to be all in for God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And number four, what can you do to become more immersed in God's truth? Well, read the Word of God. Trust Him. Go to church. That is Bible-centered, gospel-centered. Hey, thank you for being here, Henry Vid. I'm so glad you're here. And so glad that you are blessed and say amen. It's very helpful. Thank you. Yeah, Yvette, amen. Says, how are you, Lexi? I'm great. I'm fantastic. I'm blessed. I slept all right. Yeah. So, immerse yourself in God's truth. Reading. Be self-learners. You see, formal education will make you a living. But self-education will make you a fortune. So when you learn to be self-educators of the Word of God, you will be one step closer to making a fortune. Amen? Well, for me, a fortune is winning souls. It's winning the things that are unseen. For others, it might be materialistic things. God does promise you that. But you have to be careful not to start worshiping the gifts. The gifts that you get, the talent, the gifts and the treasures that you accumulate here on earth. You must not worship it. You must worship the giver of the gifts, not the gifts. Too many people fall for the traps of worshiping the gifts. And so continue worshiping God all day long. To submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Welcome, Donna from Ohio. Yeah, yeah. So, continue coming out to our live streams. to this prayer, to this devotion. Because I know he can grow you. I know he can build you up. I know he can lead you towards the right direction. And I know he loves you so much. And that's why we give praise to him all day, every day, and worship him. Immerse ourselves in his music, in his goodness, in his promises. Amen. Whew. Amen. So, dear Lord, I confess that I sometimes am tempted to. I give in to the pressures of the world and turn away from your truth. Help me, Lord, to remember your promises and to stay grounded, stay rooted, stay anchored in and upon your word so that I may live gloriously for you. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Amen. Well, I know that you guys been blessed and I've been blessed as well. And we know that God is working and he's got good plans for you. May God be with you. May he bless you. May he give you all that you need in your life. And Lord God, heal you in your inside out. Heal you relationally. Heal you emotionally. And give you strength to carry on, to break through these challenges, break through the sins, and no longer does it have chain and hold on you. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Whew. God is good. Praise him. Praise him. Well, Panda out for like. I love you guys. May you take care. Woo. Panda out for TikTok. Thank you guys for joining me. May God bless you. And Panda out. And Panda out for YouTube, for Instagram, for Facebook, for Amazon Live. Panda out. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.